Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Log Cabin Republicans for their complete abandonment of the fundamental unity of our movement and rejection of the holy acronym string. President Ross Heminger explained in a column that after having approved the inclusion of transgender T in their agenda in 2015, the pro-gay but conservative organization has now dropped the T and will focus only on what they blasphemously call LGB issues. He claims the hard-won political and cultural momentum that earned in the last few decades for rainbow people everywhere is being lost because of too much focus on transgender rights for children. He says this is because Americans are not comfortable with gender-affirming care for minors, transgender athletes in girls' sports, and what he calls the teaching of radical gender ideology in schools. He says Log Cabin's work on marriage, adoption, military service, and non-discrimination means they need to refocus on their core values of equal protection, limited government, and individual freedom. Where to begin? First, it is most definitely not up to any individual or organization to decide for itself which letters to include in our identity politics. How dare they pretend they have the power to exclude the T's? Only the International Hexilateral Standing Conclave on Preservation and Expansion of the Holy Acronym String, Third Formulation, has the plenipotentiary power to amend the sacred letters. And in this case, the conclave has adamantly declared that low-T people are still T people indeed. But all this really does is prove what we've always known. The Log Cabin Republicans were not really allies in our cause anyhow. For them to claim that LGB issues can be supported separately from the full range of the woke agenda is fundamentally wrong. So it comes as no surprise that a group who has abandoned the core goals of larger government, groupthink, communal decision-making, climate alarmism, gender anarchy, and hatred of guns, police, and the military would commit heresies around marginalized sexual identities as well. They went out from among us because they were never of us. And nothing proves that more than the refusal to use the correct and approved terminology when talking about our issue of concern. Heminger has the audacity to refer to gender-affirming care for minors as gender reassignment treatments, implying that genital reimagination surgeries are a change of gender rather than the fulfillment of it. He refers to transgender women as biological men, a hateful term from the right that stings with its reminder of the painful fact that trans women's bodies are mislabeled at the genetic level. Carrying a very hurtful XY chromosome stamp, branding them as men when their XX hearts know the real truth. Of course, that's a metaphorical heart since the actual hearts still say XY in every cell. So let us reaffirm our commitment to the full range of MMIWG2S LGBTQQIA+ people. We include everyone because our diversity is our unity. Long may the holy acronym string live and grow, never to wither and reduce. And remember, all the letters are equal, even though some are more equal than others. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Target stores for temporarily selling a children's Halloween costume that was obviously an all too painful example of blackface and minstrel show imagery. The outfit, titled Kids Glow Under Blacklight Circus Clown Halloween Costume, featured an absurdly jester-like orange and black fabric pattern of diamonds and jagged stripes, which on its own might not have raised our highly oversensitive eyebrows. But the absurdly tiny bowler hat and giant toothy grinning face mask with overly plump lips was the final straw for this white supremacy couture costume, especially since the model used for the picture in the listing was a little black boy. Now look, although Target has made a few blunders in recent memory, mostly by backing off of a full commitment to the DEI gospel of the Church of Eternal Wokeness, they still have been one of our most faithful corporate partners, essentially being the first church of consumerism for liberal white women everywhere. They even offer VIP privileges for anyone named Karen, free of charge. So the fact that they marketed this horrid costume was bad, but the nearly immediate reversal, removal, and apology was very repentant. Their press release stated, "As a company, we know we got this wrong, and we are deeply sorry." You see, the proof that a person or an organization has submitted to the dominion of our wise and loving thought control is not that they always get it right, but that they're so scared that when they do get it wrong, they immediately correct the mistake. The rest of the apology is the proof they've been completely cowed into submission, writing, The costume is offensive and should never have been part of our assortment. It is no longer available for sale. We know this is especially hurtful for our black guests, team members, and partners. Removing the costume is an important first step, and the company is looking closely at how this happened and what needs to change to ensure this won't happen again. See, the only thing more that Target could have done would be to start a philanthropic fund for the education of misguided white people, or men. But now that this is behind us, we have some suggestions for other areas of improvement Target might want to consider to bolster their affirmation as the retailer of choice for female wokelings everywhere. Naturally, they should start by changing their name and logo, since Target and the bullseye are evocative of the use of ranged weaponry like crossbows and firearms, which, even if they aren't specifically triggering to someone, apologies for use of trigger, they still affirm the culture of gun violence we abhor. Some easy ideas might preserve the red and white color scheme, then could include, say, calling it Friendship Store, the store with a heart logo, Candy with a striped cane, or perhaps Love with a red and white rose. Although we do stand with our friends at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Foliage, PETFA, in their concern that roses should not be slaughtered merely for human romantic entertainment. And if Target really wanted to be bold, they could pivot entirely and go with the name Inclusion Store and switch to rainbow iconography. Although it's good that Target encourages its employees to display their preferred pronouns on their name tags, it would be even better if every customer entering the store could be asked to wear, say, a sticker, one that displays either their own pronouns or else states their affirmation of the importance of pronoun liberation in general. On a more structural level, Target could easily do something impressive and embrace income-based dynamic pricing, an adaptive retail justice system that charges lower-income earners a substantially reduced price and higher-income earners an inflated price. This would facilitate the instantaneous redistribution of wealth and give the overcharged the joy of knowing they are subsidizing their fellow comrade consumers right there and then. If these seem too large, Target could start small by making a decisive effort to decolonize the stationery department by deprivileging white paper and replacing it with brown and black paper instead. Standard white paper is most certainly the parchment of the patriarchy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Saul Alinsky Award for Misdirection in the Pursuit of Cultural Revolution goes to our dear friends at the Washington Post, who tried valiantly to make sociological hay out of the passing of country music icon Dolly Parton. As you well know, Dolly herself for decades refused to engage in politics or even declare her own, claiming she was just an entertainer. But that deliberate and frustrating neutrality did not hinder the Post's clever propagandists from finding a way to capitalize on the national attention to her life and passing. In a column titled, Why It Matters That Dolly Parton Wasn't a Mother, the editorial board said that Dolly Parton's lack of children demonstrated that the world could in fact love a woman who wasn't a mother. But more importantly, she was proof that a person could be an advocate for children while personally choosing against parenting. Oh, dear Otherin, this is such a delightful fabrication that we are just flush with the afterglow of a good doublespeak. As Longenheimer's fourth postulate on cultural manipulation teaches us, never let a major cultural moment go to waste. Use everything to your advantage, even if you must lie. After all, lying is often the best way to tell the truth. Of course, many of you know that Dolly did not choose against parenting at all, sadly, but was in fact infertile after having a hysterectomy due to endometriosis discovered after she and her longtime husband had tried repeatedly to conceive, but failed. So far from deliberately avoiding motherhood, Dolly had tried very actively to get pregnant and could not. But why would the Washington Post ever let a fact get in the way of publishing a wondrous lie? As you all know, 15th wave feminism has finally settled on the view that becoming a mother is the least important expression of womanhood, even though it is truly the one thing that men simply can't do. Therefore, normalizing the anti-reproductive paradigm has been a key element of our dogma for decades, sanctified through our practice of the five holy sexual sacraments of premarital sex, contraception, abortion, tubal ligation, and vasectomy. These tools are the weapons we use to undermine the traditional Christian worldview of monogamy for the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying. So well done, Washington Post. Even though you got scorched online for the framing of a story that so completely abandons any pretense of being factual, you stood strong for our movement and our goals. You have advanced the cause of unbreeding everywhere. Little did anyone know that passing of the Queen of Country was an event pregnant with such a massive lie. But you found it, you ran with it, and you published it without batting one little fake eyelash of a conscience. St. Orwell himself would be very proud of you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words. Give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.